And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, I got the brush off again. I don't get it. Is there something wrong with the way I wave? Elbow wrist. Why won't that little basset hound acknowledge me? I'm friendly. I give everyone peace of mind when I protect their homes through Progressive. He should be jumping for joy when I walk by.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe it's me. No, it's him.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
I know you guys have been waiting on this episode of the... Lo, it's been like 5 days. I don't know what happened, man. But we're back. So the first two rounds of the playoffs have been wrapped up. And the conference finals is coming up, man. We got a lot to talk about. Lo, introduce yourself.
Yo, what up, podcast people? It's the one and only legend of winning, a.k.a. Lo. Back with another episode of the All Top Podcast.
Jeez, why do you introduce everything like a YouTube video, man?
Yo, can I live? Can I breathe?
You gonna tell him to drop a like on the video? What else, man? Subscribe to the channel.
A second, bro. Hit the five. Actually, you know what? I don't know how people like consistently stay updated with this stuff, but yo, shout out to y'all who are updated and always rocking with us and stuff like that. And this is the episode y'all been waiting for, because I see y'all on Twitter hitting me up. This is what y'all been wanting. This is what y'all been waiting for. So go ahead, agent. Since it's your team, introduce us to the topic.
All right. First thing I want to say is, before we get into that, yo, the amount of people that have been hitting me up throughout the week, like, hey, yo, agent, where's the motherfucking podcast? I'm like, goddamn. Yo, Lord, just the numbers is growing, man. It's making me excited, yo. All right. The Raptors. We'll get serious, Lo. Going up against the Cleveland Cavaliers, man, they lost. And game four was worse than game three, because game three was close. And DeRozan got benched, and there was people arguing that DeRozan got bailed out and he was performing horribly. He had an atrocious plus-minus on the team. Really, everybody else had a decent plus-minus. DeRozan had, like, minus 24. Game four comes around, right? And DeRozan gets ejected from the game. And I feel like he wanted to get ejected because he almost didn't want to be there for the most embarrassing defeat in Raptors history. Look, I drove downtown, right, just to get the vibe. You know, I was at Jurassic Park just taking a look at things, and people were leaving by the third quarter. Everybody was just sad, and their heads were down, and some people was taking off their jerseys, man. And I'm here to let everybody know that DeRozan let the city down. And for all that he's done, he needs to know, for this moment, this year, and everything that's worked up to it, is he let the city down. And of course, it has a lot of people asking the question, you lose to LeBron 3 times in a row, what gives? So first thing we seen was Masai Ujiri drop Dwayne Casey, who, by the way, Lo, on a very separate topic we'll talk about later, got the most votes for quote-unquote coach of the year from the different coaches in the league that voted. I don't know where the problems of the team lie. And maybe that's not like a great...
Time out. I'm sorry. I was going to let you keep rocking. But you're not going to sit here and tell me you don't know where the problems of the team lie.
It's not that I don't know. It's that it's coming from so many angles. Like, there's
I was about to say.
It's so many factors, Lo. DeRozan can't show up in the clutch. When you see players like Ben Simmons and Terry Rozier and Donovan Mitchell step up in the playoffs for their team, you look at DeRozan like, yeah, what is this guy up to? Like, how was he getting paid this much? And how is he, like, being talked about on MVP talks, top 10 this, top... And you can't step up for your team. And unlike Lowry, when DeRozan isn't performing well, he's not defending well neither. And while Lowry can shoot threes, play defense, set charges, he gets the hustle plays, DeRozan is only ever offense. And when that's not there, he is officially useless to the team. DeRozan is the main issue on the team. I think one of the issues that people refuse to acknowledge is Dwayne Casey as well. There was times where you have to trap LeBron on the last play, especially considering he inbounded it on his own corner. He had to run full court. You have to trap in that situation. There's so many mistakes that were made. In game four, Lucas Nogueira was on the court, and the Cavaliers went on a massive run immediately. Lucas Nogueira has no offensive ability. They were throwing doubles and triples at other players just so they could stop the Raptors offensively. But most importantly, Lo, I think the biggest problem is defense. You had players like Kevin Love and Kyle Korver and George Hill who either weren't playing like George Hill in the previous series until late, or played horribly, and they were coming back and playing with all kinds of confidence. And so I think that's what this comes down to, Lo, more than anything, is do Cavaliers have an infinite amount of confidence when they're going up against the Raptors? And the Raptors just, they don't have any, they don't believe they can win. The only players I saw performing well, Lo, were the new players who haven't lost to LeBron yet. CJ Miles was out there just hooping, doing his thing throughout anytime he got minutes. The guys who've been beaten down and lost to LeBron in the past, they just went out there and looked like they were defeated. The exception being Jonas Valanciunas, who was, by the way, playing fantastic. That's what I think the main problems are. I think DeRozan is going to get traded. Dwayne Casey has already been dropped. Chances are Jerry Stackhouse is going to be promoted to head coach. We'll also talk about that. Lo, man, I got to know, all right? The Raptors get swept back-to-back years. It's the third year in a row, though, that they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. What would you say are the main... Jeez, what the fuck? Lo, I can listen to an echo. You just take off your headphones?
No, that's you. Because I
guarantee it was not me. But go ahead. What's the Raptors' biggest problems?
Look, because you definitely said a lot of stuff that I just disagree. And maybe we just watch two different games. But, you know, I guess that's the reason why we have a podcast. So, first and foremost, I want to get a couple things clear. Wasn't I, and I'm not trying to basically say I'm right or wrong, but wasn't I one of the very few people who continue to question Dwayne Casey as a head coach?
You weren't the only one, man. Even people
was I not questioning Dwayne Casey as a coach?
So are you saying he's the main problem?
I'm just asking you a question.
All right.
Am I? Was I?
Yeah, you were. I was okay, too. Okay. Everybody was. Nobody was saying.
Okay. I'm just saying it because I want to be clear about because. Oh, the reason why I'm doing this is because I want to just kind of lead up to something, right? Because, like you said, this has not been a one-year thing, right? Like, there's no rhyme or reason why Toronto consistently over the last 5 years continue to drop the ball. And so, when you look at what's been going on over the last 5 years, it's always something that kind of brought up, that was consistently brought up, and I think Dwayne Casey and his lack of coaching ability was consistently brought up and with the conversation. So that part isn't new. And that part should have been addressed. However, there's other concerns with this organization that I feel like people need to talk about. So if we're going to talk about just this series alone, before I tackle the bigger picture here, DeMar DeRozan was atrocious during the series. Defensively, he had mental lapse. Offensively, he still fell victim to trap certain times. And like you said, if he's not making the shots, then he's a complete liability on the floor because he doesn't space the floor out, so he doesn't help out spacing for the team. Defensively, he just isn't there either. And so there's just no need for him on the floor when he's there. And it's easy for the defense to react to his style of play because, especially when Valanciunas is on the floor, because how limited of a player that he is offensively. So that was probably the biggest thing from a player perspective that I saw. Valanciunas defensively was horrific. He couldn't move on a pick and roll.
Game did you watch? Serge Ibaka was a horrible defender in that series.
I'm going to get to Serge Ibaka as well.
But Jonas was playing he was playing average. The fact that you use the word horrible is crazy. Go ahead.
Yeah, on the pick and roll, he was horrible. Jonas was horrible on the pick and roll. When the pick was set, it was almost like he didn't even like attempt to go up and attempt to like defend any 3-point shots. You always had player who was defending the ball handler fight over screens because they knew they weren't going to get that much help from Valanciunas. And then when he did switch every now and then, players like George Hill were just blowing by him. It was ridiculous. Serge Ibaka could not read an off-ball screen to save his life. Like, it was amazing to me.
So unfocused. You're right.
It was ridiculous how many times players were just getting open. He was like pointing to people and everybody was like, no, that's your guy that you need to be guarding. It's not my guy. I don't know why you're pointing out your guy to me. That's your guy. So that was, it's amazing to me how much he's fallen off defensively over the last few years.
It's actually just been during the season he was fine. It's literally after the first two games of the playoffs is when he dramatic fall off. But I don't know.
But just as a player though, also because he's the player that OKC decided to go with over James Harden. So always, just always keep that in mind. That's crazy. Yeah. That's the impact that he once had on the defensive end at a young age that many people just assumed that that was the right direction to go into. CJ Miles was also really bad on the defensive end. He made his shots. He gave some effort, but it was very obvious down the stretch, the whole, the way that they organized the offense for the Cavs were to switch the pick and get a switch on the pick and roll from OG to CJ Miles and force OG to keep on Kyle Korver, because they knew they were never going to leave Kyle Korver open. A few times there's miscommunications. LeBron is just getting to the rim. Ridiculous. OG played fine from what I expect out of a rookie guarding LeBron, and the rest of the role players really didn't show up every now and then. And there was moments I actually enjoyed Kyle Lowry, so that was also good. And then, Dwayne Casey, no adjustments from game to game, which is ridiculous. His play calling out of timeouts were horrific, and the offense for the Raptors, it seemed like there was no direction.
I disagree at with all. That. I think he did have adjustments. I just think that the players lacked execution.
Okay, I mean, if that's what we're doing, then fine. Okay, so fine. So now we get to the bigger picture, and this is when I really get in my bag real quick, right? Toronto, it's funny because not too long ago we had this conversation about how the Hawks were one of the worst ran organizations, or they were poorly managed because they had been stagnant for years, and how you blew off the idea that the Toronto Raptors might have been in that same situation. Well, I'm here to tell you that they are.
They are.
And the reason why I know they are is because they have been easily either the most or the second most disappointing team in the last 5 years.
You're missing the point, though. You're basing
I'm not missing the point.
Judgment about Atlanta saying they were running on the same spot, it was because they weren't adding pieces to make improvements. So what you're doing right now is
what have they added?
What you're doing is you're judging the Raptors based on the result, which is that they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers once again, and they got sweep. I'm judging teams based on the process of how they're building their team. Did they make improvements over the offseason? And if they didn't, then yes, it is a wasted year. So just like, but
Atlanta did add pieces. They added Paul Millsap. They added Damari
Carroll. They've had him since time. It's exactly like the Houston Rockets.
He was only
Rockets
there for 3 years. He was there for 3 years, agent.
Lose to the Golden State Warriors. That doesn't mean they were a disappointed team, because they still made adjustments and added to the process. And so they're not running on the same spot. They added Chris Paul over the offseason. And so even if they lose to Golden State and they get knocked out at the same time they got knocked out last year, that's not an example of a team running on the same spot. So you see what I'm saying? See, if they make it to the next round, then there you go. You're judging based off results. But it's all about the results are going to happen. Players are going to perform.
This man, Paul Millsap, was there for 3 or 4 years, agent. I don't know what you're talking about. They moved on from Jeff Teague and started Dennis Schroeder. And even before Jeff Teague, they had Mike Bibby before Jeff Teague came in. And then they could have easily overpaid Josh Smith, but let him go. And that actually came out to be one of the better decisions that they made. And then they brought in Mike Budenholzer. They were making moves over the course of them getting to the point where they were a 60-win team. Because when they were a 60-win team, that was not the same Joe Johnson, Josh Smith team that they had a few years prior. It wasn't with Larry Drew at the head coaching spot. They made moves. Y'all are basically the same spot. I don't care what you think or what you know. Y'all are the same spot. But here's the reason why y'all are worse, though. Here's the reason why y'all are worse. Because let's keep it a buck. So now you sit here and say that some of the stuff isn't Dwayne Casey, even though a lot of it is. Dwayne Casey, he's an overrated coach. His whole year about how Dwayne Casey should be a winner of Coach of the Year. I would even go as far as saying he shouldn't even be a top three candidate for Coach of the Year just because they changed their offense to a style that almost every other team is running. Dwayne Casey is like 5 years behind now when it comes to coaching offense. It's about, oh, we got to move the ball more and we got to shoot threes. No shit, Sherlock. Like, that's what everybody else is doing. You're mad behind. Everybody else has been doing that. So that there's one thing. But then even if you want to say he's bad, or if you want to say the players are bad, Masai is the one who's overpaying them, right?
You're missing. You're eliminating context.
Let's bring in context, because Messiah's been there for 5 years, right? So Messiah Ujiri, you know, the guy that you cape for, and you about to put the cape on for him right now. But I'm about to snatch that shit off your hand real quick, because no, you're not going to make no sense right now. Messiah Ujiri came in when they lost.
You say his name right, Lo Ujiri. Jesus,
Ujiri,
man.
Ujiri,
you can't criticize a guy you can't pronounce, right?
Hey, I can criticize whoever I want. When they lost to the net, when they lost to the Nets, and they lost to the Wizards, when they lost to the Cavs for 3 years in a row, and they got swept in the last two, has not addressed any player who was one of the star athletes of this team. Not only has he never addressed any of them, he has paid them, compensated them, then brought in more people that he overpaid as well, because he overpaid.
All right, you're doing it again, Lo. You're doing it again. You're judging the team exclusively by results. If you look at the results over the course of the seasons, every single season they've been winning more and more games until this year, franchise high of 59 wins.
So what you're saying, what's the difference between that and where the Hawks were when they won 60 wins? Please let me know.
Cause I'm talking about gradual improvement. And what you're mentioning,
the Hawks had improvement. They got to 60 wins.
Ever since Masai came to the rap, you can't even begin. He's the last person you begin to pin. Now, whether Dwayne Casey should have been fired, I think that's questionable. But if you're talking about everything leading up to, on top of moving an immovable contract in Andrea Borgnani, which Bird, it was almost like the Omer Asik contract. It was the one you couldn't get off, and he got it off. Right? On top of the fact that you move a player like Rudy Gay, and now you have what people would assume, now you're bombing with Kyle Lowry and DeRozan, but then he built on that team, right? And so he even talked about this in his press conference today, he was hesitant to make moves, big moves like firing Dwayne Casey, because the Raptors didn't strive off pure talent. They don't have KD on the team or Stephen Curry. They strive because they had team chemistry. And so anytime you're willing to shake that up, you're risking what made the team successful. And so the reason he left it intact and the reason why you're criticizing him is because he did see noticeable improvements year over year in the season, but not in the playoffs. Now, Lo, you gotta tell me, what does a general manager have to do aside from put together a good roster if every single year they crumble to the same guy? What could
Who signed Damari Carroll?
That was his biggest mistake. And of course you brought that up. You're not going to bring up the other signings. And he was able to offload that contract to the Nets.
Okay, let's bring up the other contracts then. Who signed Jonas Valanciunas to the contract he has right now?
That's not a bad contract. $50 million a year. That's the perfect contract.
No, it's $17 million a year.
All right, it went up since last year.
Who signed Serge Ibaka then?
What are you trying to say, Lo?
I'm saying y'all got like three or four players who overpaid on the contract on the books right now.
That's where you're moving context. So I was watching First Take today, and I'm glad Max Kellerman was doing a good job of providing context. He was explaining part of the reason why it's difficult to get players in teams like Toronto. And he brought up some stuff that I didn't even know players were like that burden players. And of course, one of them is, and because maybe I live in Canada, I've never had to not deal with it, is customs. Every time you travel somewhere, you're going through customs. He brought up the fact of course, the weather. NBA players prefer to live in better weather. And of course, he brought up the fact of taxes. Lo, without a doubt, teams like Toronto or even smaller market teams like the Memphis Grizzlies are going to have to overpay for players. Now, I don't know if you want to pay a $40 million to Mike Conley, right? That might be pushing it a little bit. But these cities aren't always going to be like LA.
So it's okay to question Mike Conley's contract, but it's not okay to question.
$40 million. That is very different from what you're saying.
It's okay to question. Well, Mike Conley's better than everybody on this team, so not that much.
Sure he is, buddy. And also,
he's not?
Mike Conley?
Oh, we're definitely about to set parameters today, Agent. If you don't think Mike Conley
is better than everybody on the Raptors, Lo, are you out of your mind?
Name me the player who's better than Mike Conley on your team right now.
I would have Lowry over Mike Conley.
Shut the hell up. You don't know what you're talking about.
I do know what I'm talking about.
Anyway, Serge Ibaka receiving $23 million overpaid.
You just talked about setting parameters and immediately transition.
Because this is my point. My point is this. You cannot go five consecutive seasons and it not be partly the general manager's fault, partly the coach's fault, and also partly the player's fault. And so We already know. I've questioned Dwayne Casey, so I'm not even really going to spend that much time on it because
okay,
I
think I'll give you this obvious. Though before you continue. If after what happened this year, three times in a row, Masai Ujiri doesn't move either. I think Lowry is an immovable contract. Doubt he moves. And I don't honestly, you wouldn't even want to move him. I think he does what he needs to do. If DeRozan doesn't move, then we start to look
Then we get to the point of who wants DeMar DeRozan for $27 million?
So that's why last, because really, think about it. DeRozan has a lot of flaws. He's not a great defender. He also offensively shown that he's inconsistent at times. He's a scorer, but he works in certain offenses that prefer isolation style. When you move the ball around and you kick it to DeRozan, he's looking at the ball at the three-point line, and he doesn't really know what to do sometimes. And that's why I brought up Wiggins on the last podcast, because although he has potential and he's younger, Wiggins has a lot of similar issues in that he's not a good defender. He's inconsistent offensively, although his scoring output, of course, is a lot lower than DeRozan. He shoots the three ball a little bit better. But I think that would be the perfect trade if you are the Raptors. Now, if you're, honestly, I don't know what team would want. I wouldn't want DeRozan on my team.
But he's on your team, though.
I get that. But if I'm another team and you know in basketball in 2018 is 3-point shooting, moving the ball around. You see the teams that are winning championships like Golden State. You know what the formula looks like. You see what Greg Pop is doing with the Spurs, and everybody is poaching Spurs assistant coaches and left and right.
All you're basically saying is he's an immovable contract. That's basically what you just said.
No, DeRozan is not immovable. Lowry is.
So which team? Just name me at least one or two teams
I think the Timberwolves, maybe.
That it would make sense. It don't make no sense for him to go to the Timberwolves. Let's keep
or
it
the going. Lakers, because they have a lot of cap space.
No, it does not. You're just randomly saying names.
No, I'm not right, because not only do they have a ton of cap space, DeRozan is from Compton, so he's from LA.
But why would the Lakers want to put him on the team?
The Lakers have enough space for two max guys.
But why would they want him, though?
Wait. I'm about to say, if they don't use any of that for a quote-unquote star player, then they're bugging. And chances are, well, we'll see how things play out. But if Paul George opts to go somewhere else, DeMarcus Cousins is a free agent too, right? But he's injured, so I don't know who's going to want to take a risk on him. They might be in a situation where it makes sense to make a trade and give Raptors some younger pieces or a pick or something like that for DeRozan, depending on what their goals are. And there's never going to be a perfect answer. Even when you see finalized trades in the NBA we can sit here and criticize. Well, that didn't make sense for that team.
But
right?
even if they were to do that, agent, y'all would still have to get a bad contract. Y'all would still have to get one. Because the young players that are on the team, they do not have enough money that they're making to match the $27 million. So y'all would still have to get a bad contract.
So there's two options. You can get one that's expiring so you can worry about it the next year. Or you can get one that's actually valuable. There's some players that are good players, but they're just getting paid more than they're worth, I think.
So which player is that on the Lakers?
I can't think off the top of my
head. It's not a player like that on the Lakers. What I'm saying is he's not doing that great of a job. That's basically what I'm telling you.
I disagree. I think the majority of people would.
Well, I don't care. Most of the majority of people think that some of these other players in the NBA right now are better than what they are. What I'm saying is that Masai Ujiri, for someone who has been in high regards of what he's done, looking at over the last 5 years, he's added pieces that really have not amounted to much of anything. And even though, they got the most wins in franchise history, it's a trash franchise. So I don't care what they're getting. Again, you are judging by results.
I'll give you an example about the Toronto Raptors. Norman Powell, a couple years ago, he was getting good minutes, and we're thinking, yo, this guy could really be some. Not only is he a great defender, he was one of the only consistent 3-point shooters for the team at the time. Did you see him in the playoffs, though? I didn't, because he was on the bench the whole time. So while you sit there saying, well, he didn't add any pieces or get anybody, he didn't do this or that for the team, Dwayne Casey is not playing some of these players. Jonas Valanciunas was not playing.
So who capped Dwayne Casey, agent?
All right. So that's the thing. He just fired him.
All I'm saying is I understand what you're saying. And again, like I said, it's multiple pieces. But to sit here and not acknowledge the fact that part of the problem is also the general manager who has allowed this to go on for 5 years. He is part of the problem.
So you have a different perspective than I do. You have a perspective that he's allowed this tomfoolery to go on for longer than it should have been. And my perspective is...
Yes, agent. Yes, that's exactly
my
problem.
I know what you're saying, but I have a different perspective. I believe he's overcame such an insurmountable amount that the Toronto Raptors organization has never, ever been able to do. And, of course, he used to work for the organization before he went to Denver, and he came back. I honestly... And I think... Yo, Lo, I'm not even gonna lie to you, bro. I was watching Serge Ibaka in the playoffs, man. I was thinking to myself, I don't know what he was thinking when he picked up
Serge. And he paid him over $20 million, agent.
So, no GM is gonna be perfect. No one's gonna be perfect. But if you're gonna sit here, Lo, when I ask you what are the biggest problems of the team, and even begin to mention him as the
It's three big problems. It's Messiah, Casey, and DeMar.
Masai
Masai has made multiple mistakes, such as also giving Valanciunas that contract, even though Biombo would have been a better option for them.
Defensively and on the boards, he's going to give you what you need. What does Biombo do that Lucas Nguera doesn't? I'll wait.
He's a better defender.
No, he's not. Because that's exactly Lucas Nguera. No.
He didn't have an impact on the floor, agent? Why is it? First of all, y'all have like miscellaneous pieces that you swear up and down is really giving y'all that much bench depth, but then in the postseason they don't show up. So that's one. Two, y'all were literally relying on half of the season for Fred VanVleet to come along. And then once he started coming, you're like, oh, that's the X factor right there. You was even going as far as almost saying it in the first round. Three, I'm looking at this roster. And this is where the roster comes into play. Bruh, none of these players are really that good. And my whole, and the purpose that I've really been garnishing over the last 2 to 3 months now is that maybe really and truly as basketball fans, our standards are probably lowered. Because there is a stretch of years where players were entering the NBA and they're just not that good. And DeMar DeRozan is one of those players where we have consistently allowed a lot of his mistakes to not go underneath the radar, but we've pardoned him for a lot of his mistakes and his flaws in his games. Okay,
so I have a question. I'm not even going to challenge you on that. I think you're right about a lot of that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What is DeRozan, I think, in a lot of ways, like Stephen Curry? He's great at some stuff, but he has incredible flaws. The only problem is the Golden State Warriors compensate for Curry's flaws, right?
What is Curry's flaws?
As a defender, they lace him around with people that not only could help him out and rotate properly, even though he can't one-on-one D up players like Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook, right? He'll get blown by every single time, a lot like DeRozan does. But do you see what I'm saying?
But what else is his flaw?
I think honestly that's his one big major flaw. Okay. Of course, DeRozan has the additional flaw.
I'm gonna say that's the difference. It's one thing.
They're on different levels. I'm not saying DeRozan's as good, but I'm saying it's a lot like the same. Well, DeRozan doesn't have anybody. It's not a lot the same
because it's one thing to say that Curry, and this is the reason why I'm checking you on this because it needs to be very, very understood. Curry, when he entered the NBA, definitely had a lot of flaws, but when he grew as an individual, a lot of those flaws either dissipated or minimized outside of the on-ball D, but even off-ball defense, he's much better than what he once was. DeMar DeRozan, over the last 3 to 5 years, has been practically the exact same player. he has not developed on the defensive end. There is no understanding of spacing the floor to him. He does not handle the ball that great. So when they pressure him with double teams, he immediately turns his back and try to cover the ball, which allows him to miss open lanes to pass.
So you brought up a good point.
It's a lot of things. It's not just one thing. It's a lot of things in his game that he's not added to. And it's what are you doing?
I'm glad you brought up that decision making, because in the previous 2 years, the reason the Raptors were losing, a big reason, is the Cavaliers were on a trap the same way they ran a trap on the Pacers in the first round. And DeRozan, like, because they barely played things like that in the regular season, they just didn't know how to react. They were just panicking. And so I don't know what the turnover counts are, but I know they were getting a lot of turnovers throughout the entire series. You're right. I know Kobe had an episode where he was looking at DeMar DeRozan on his show Detail, and a lot of it just comes down to decision making, right? When you have high IQ players like Chris Paul, he can be quadrupled, and he'll find a way to behind the back, between someone's leg, bounce pass to the right guy. And so DeRozan doesn't ever do that. He often makes a bad pass, like an inaccurate pass where a shooter is completely thrown out of bounds, or it's thrown to his feet and he has to hop into his... Like, how do you hop into a shot when the ball is thrown to your feet? And that happened so much times through the Wizards series. It wasn't just a Cavalier problem. I'm happy you brought that up.
It happened last year with the Bucks, because they were double-teaming him too, and he still couldn't find... And, it was ridiculous.
And the Heat as well, yeah.
So those are things that he's had to deal with for the last 2 to 3 years, and he hasn't been able to develop it. And so when I sit here and when I put this on Twitter too, I'm like, yo, I'm looking at a lot of players, and it's a lot of the stuff they're bad at, or a lot of things that they just don't do. We've been like, it's okay that he doesn't do these things, or it's like we've just made it acceptable, or we just allowed some of that stuff to go underneath the radar because we get enamored with.
Doesn't a lot James of the Harden? Okay, so
same thing. This is the same thing with James Harden. Same thing with Westbrook. It's a lot of players who do this.
But what However, you're asking players to be low is a complete player. Like how there's only
No. I'm not because like you just sat there and said with Curry. Curry, I'm not saying that he has to be a perfect, complete player and play defense at an elite level as well. But what I'm saying is certain ball handling and decision making things that he had to grow from, he was able to grow in the beginning of his career because the same passer that he is today was not the same passer that he was in the beginning of his career. I'm saying with DeMar, damn, if you knock at least knock down some threes, or damn, at least play defense, or damn, at least anticipate the pick and roll. Like, these are things that you have these are consistently the same thing that you have never been able to grow on. And so I say all that to say this, because I feel like we've lowered our standards. 5-7 years ago, because I think this is it's somewhat of an acceptable comparison. 5-7 years ago, Joe Johnson was not viewed as the same as DeMar is right now. But I believe Joe Johnson 5-7 years ago was better than DeMar. Yo.
I just saw a report, man. People at least a handful of guys listening seen this. Apparently Ujiri stormed the locker room after Game 3 and was screaming at Dwayne Casey. Let me tell you what the report said. According to multiple sources, the confusion and subsequent lack of execution on the final play was another log on the fire. After the game, Ujiri stormed the Raptors' dressing room at the queue, just out of sight of most of the players, but not out of earshot, and rebuked Casey in the coach's office for failing to double-team James. So at least he knew, right? I know a lot of people on Twitter were pointing out, like, that had to be a double-team there. Who was it? Steve O'Gallagher. Dev. NBA 2K Dev, lo. He broke down the play and was like, he should have double teamed. B-ball breakdown. Pull up. He said he should have double teamed. Everybody was in consensus. So, I mean, just I don't know. It's kind of different from what you're saying, but I thought it was fascinating.
Yeah, but I think at this point everybody knows that Casey just isn't as good as a coach as people try to make him out to be.
I mean, he made a mistake. Jesus, Flo.
No, I'm just
going to jump to that.
No, I think that's a fair assessment. Casey's just not that good of a coach. What would you say he is?
Like top 3, top 5, top 10?
Oh, okay.
Top 20?
You're giving me options. Okay, I would say top 15. I think he's like an average coach.
I disagree with you on that. I think he's at least top 7, maybe top 6.
Absolutely not. No.
I guess we'll find out, Lo, because he's fired now.
He's firing his other teams who need a coach, and I don't think nobody's going to hire him. And again, I
disagree with you on that.
I don't know. If they do, we'll see. But I feel again, and I'm not trying to go back on the Casey thing because I think we all just agree that he should have been fired. Is that when it comes to coaches, it's fine that they get fired, but I just feel like we should. It's fine to question other aspects of the team. But yeah, Casey. And some of his adjustments, his decision-making, and just the play calling. And I consistently saw it, especially after timeouts. And he just didn't make any... There was no plays that were being called at all after timeouts. It was ridiculous. But back to the DeMar DeRozan thing, because these are the two things. DeMar and Masai, whatever his name is.
Masai. Say it with me, though. Masai.
Those two, I cannot stress enough that we cannot allow them two to get off the hook. Because again,
I can't.
Because you cut me off. I was trying to make a really good point.
All right, go ahead.
Because with DeMar, I feel like especially this year, we have put him on a pedestal, or at least attempt to, or at least hear the cries of Toronto fans about how good they were this year and how much they changed. And oh my God, it's a new team, man. Shut the fuck up, bro. Like if you don't show me what you about to do. If you keep folding in the playoffs, like, I don't want to hear none of that. The same thing go with Damian Lillard. I don't want to hear how you overlooked and underrated and underappreciated. Man, shut the hell up
but
and
that's, play, that's bro. Different because Damian Lillard said that about himself.
Yeah, which is the craziest thing. And then you play trash in the first round of playoffs. Bro, I'm tired of hearing that. Because again, there was other players 5-7 years ago, because I feel like Joe Johnson in his prime is better than DeMar DeRozan in his prime. Or at least they're at least comparable. But I don't remember anybody holding these same regards for Joe Johnson or going around.
Because Joe Johnson was never like a, I mean, even on the Suns, he definitely wasn't a top player. But even when he was
in Atlanta, he was a 23 to 25 point scorer, shooting splits better than DeMar DeRozan, was a clutch player as well. And I never heard anybody say anything about how, oh my God, y'all disrespected Joe Johnson.
You're using a little bit of hyperbole. I heard a bit, but you're right. It's not as much.
But nowhere near as much as right now. And so if we gonna keep doing all this stuff for them, bro, we either A, you need to start playing better, or B, don't get upset when we start talking about other players before we talk about the Toronto Raptors or what's going on up there. Because, bro, I'm just tired of hearing that. And I don't think there's nothing that they can do. I think when you give DeMar DeRozan, a 28-year-old shooting guard who can't shoot threes, who don't defend, who's not the greatest playmaker, when you give him $27 million, bro, that's dead. There's nobody in the NBA who wants a player like that. I don't believe personally. When you sit there and you give Kyle Lowry, who's in his 30s, over $30 million, bro, there's nobody who wants that. Serge Ibaka receiving over $20 million. Valanciunas receiving over 17 or around $17 million. There's no one who wants that. And y'all, is nothing that y'all can add to this team outside of the piece that y'all have unless y'all are trading. And cause next year, even with, who's coming off the books next year? Nagüera is coming off the books next year. Fred Van Vliet is coming off the bench, off the books next year as well. And y'all are already $127 million committed to the cap. Y'all are already over the cap. And so if it doesn't work out, not only are y'all overpaying some of these players, y'all not winning, y'all not getting better.
You're missing the setup. The whole point of re-signing those players is after 2020, everybody's off. And so it kind of just gave the Raptors a buffer period.
You're basically waiting until 2020 though.
That's not it. Cause it was more like a buffer. Let's see if we can make things work with the core we have now, with the time we have. If we can't, then they have a chance to blow it all up and do something really new in 2020. That's part of the reason why Lowry and DeRozan both expire on the same year.
DeRozan has another player option at the end. I would say that the Raptors, I'll leave it at this. I would sit here and say that the Raptors and DeMar DeRozan may have missed their window of opportunity, but that would be me assuming that they were ever good enough to even have an opportunity to be the best team in the East.
What opportunity, Lo? We know they lose to Golden State regardless, right?
I said in the East.
I get that. But all this criticism is coming because they couldn't make it out to East. Understandable. Like,
it's not just that they didn't make it. They got swept by a Cavs team that is getting worse. While other teams in the East are getting better. That's another big problem.
Who? Who got better?
You're not telling me that the Celtics got better this year.
Of course. Yeah, I saw that coming.
You're not telling me that Philly didn't get better this year.
I mean, granted, they still got destroyed but they got better.
Yes or no, they did get better.
I mean, I didn't know if they got better. They were just healthier.
Yes, they got better, AJ.
They're healthier. I
don't know why you're beating around the bush on this one. They got better.
It's not beating no bush.
They did, because
they just didn't have players last year.
Robert Covington got better. They added JJ Redick to that team. Sarge got better. TJ McConnell got better. Who else? I feel like they added.
Imagine if I made that argument for the Raptors. Imagine if I said Van Fleet got better. DeLon Wright was definitely better. Imagine if I said that.
Well, here's a difference. A lot of their young players that are getting better are their core pieces. You just named role players. I'm talking about their core pieces that are getting better.
That's a silly thing to say because Donovan Mitchell wasn't a core piece until he became a core piece, right? It's not until you perceive him as a core piece until that judgment, that analysis is already out the window. Nobody thought Donovan Mitchell was going to come in.
No, because there's a possibility for DeMar DeRozan to get better, but he's not getting better. And that's part of the reason you went to. But Valanciunas can get better as well. But DeMar DeRozan being a stagnant player is part of the reason why y'all are a stagnant team.
I agree. And that's why he's going to get traded.
And so I don't know who would want him. But when I'm sitting here and I'm looking at y'all getting swept for the second year in a row by the same team that lost Kyrie, and then I'm looking at other teams in the Eastern Conference become better while y'all are being stagnant again. I would say that y'all missed your opportunity to be the best team in the East or at least make it out the East, but that would assume that y'all were even good enough to be that team in the first place, which looking at the way that y'all team is built, especially if you're relying on DeMar DeRozan to be the best player, that may not ever happen. Say it with me. Y'all are trash. And if you think the Atlanta Hawks were a poorly ran organization, despite the fact that they made the playoffs for 10 consecutive seasons and they finally reached 60 wins and they finally got to the conference finals. If you think that's a poorly constructed team with a poorly ran general manager, trust me, agent, you're going to be feeling like that in two more years when y'all can't do nothing and y'all just got to rebuild. Because that's the next step.
So now we're done the Raptor slander. Let's give credit to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Those are facts.
No, we ain't giving credit to nobody. Y'all trash. That's facts.
Low, calm down, man. What's up with you, bro?
Y'all trash.
No, LeBron James was on some nut shit. He was uncontrollable.
So you weren't expecting LeBron to do that before the series started?
No, of course not, because he wasn't doing it against the Pacers. At least not like how they. It's not that he wasn't doing it.
You weren't expecting LeBron to be first. And LeBron, and let's also keep
was LeBron hitting high post fades back to back to back to
LeBron
back.
LeBron was
back,
missing
to back
three. LeBron was missing threes and free throws, and y'all still couldn't capitalize on that.
Stop. We're done. Let's just let that go.
LeBron played. LeBron definitely had moments in that series where he was great. However, there was two of those games that y'all still could have won, and LeBron was not making any threes.
He was great in all of them.
Even in that first game, LeBron sat there and said himself that was his worst game he's played in a long time, bro. What are you talking about?
All right, that's what people like LeBron say is when Ninja hops on stream and says, "Yeah, I'm not really the best. There's room for improvement."
This man LeBron shot 3 for 18 from behind the arc, bro. This man LeBron shot 57% from the free throw line, bro. Send that man on the free throw line and make him shoot three. Shoot the free throws.
Let me know when you're done, man. I'm gonna just be here.
No, it's just common sense stuff, bro. You right. Some of them players are in with the Cavs, bro, they shot excellent. However, if Serge Ibaka leaving them open, of course they're gonna shoot excellent, right? Like if y'all not executing on the defensive end, of course they're gonna get open shots and start shooting great from the field. But y'all couldn't even keep up the own pace that y'all had. That's also doing Casey. I don't know why y'all was running slow basketball. Y'all was like one of the more fastest, but y'all tempo definitely was up compared to other years and over the last 5 years, and y'all just slowed down. Y'all let LeBron dictate the entire pace. And shout out to PJ Tucker because he also sat there and exposed y'all weak mental behinds yet again. He sat there and said like, "Yo, this is a team that once they lose to LeBron, they like, oh man, it's all right, it's LeBron." So it's cool that we lost, bro. That's some weak mental-minded people, and that's something that, yet again, what's his name? Not Messiah. What's his name? Whatever his name is. Whatever the general manager name is. That's the general manager allowing that stuff to be a culture in y'all team, bro. Y'all team trash, man. That team trash. It's a shame. I can't even say there's any Hall of Famers on that roster, too, because I don't even think there are. And Mike Conley's better than Kyle Lowry. Jesus Christ, that was a terrible take on your behalf. So, are you done, Agent? You done crying?
Nigga, I'm waiting for you to be done. Are you You're done? Not done? You done? Go ahead. I'll give you all the time you want. Go get out your chest.
I'm just saying, you done crying, though? I mean...
Oh, no, I'm not crying. I'm trying to move on. And you just keep talking. So I'm just like, go ahead,
I'm just saying, I'm just making sure you understand, bro. 2 more years, I don't want to... You're going to be like, man, God, man, we should have done that.
I'm not crying,
though. We should have done that. Watching 2 more years, bro. That's what you about to be saying.
No, you are a Lakers fan. You didn't make the playoffs, bro. You can't be out here talking smack about my team. You didn't make it into the competition.
None of my better players on my team have been in the NBA as long as Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan.
What does that mean, Lo? What does that mean?
The expectations on those players are completely different from players who've been in the NBA. Your
expectations.
No, in general. Your expectations on DeMar DeRozan is the same as Lonzo Ball? Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Because that would be silly. That would be silly. That you would have the same expectations for a rookie and a sophomore than you have for someone who's been in the NBA for 9 years and hasn't really developed in the last 5. That man Tatum might be better than DeMar DeRozan right now. That's crazy. I mean, Tatum is a rookie. He already better than DeMar. Sus. Trash. I mean, you good, bro? I mean, I don't want you crying. You know what I'm saying?
I'm as straight as can be. I really want you to get it out your chest because every time I start talking, you just refuel.
Go ahead, go. So go ahead, just, go, bro. What you moving on to next, bro? Because I know you done talking about it. Go ahead. What's up?
Of course. You're saying the same thing for the last 20 minutes, man.
No, go ahead, go, bro. Tell me what you want to talk about, bro. Because I know you don't want to talk about your trash team no more. Let's go. Let's hear it, bro.
Interestingly enough, there's reports that Budenholzer might be the front runner for the Raptors job, which I hope it's Jerry Stackhouse. But
I might say if it's Budenholzer, it can't be Budenholzer because you just sat there and said Atlanta's was a trash. That's a trash organization. They kept Budenholzer way too long. To your expectations,
I didn't say anything about Budenholzer.
So now
you're just putting words in my mouth now.
If Atlanta's a bad organization and they had a coach in Coach Bud, but then y'all get him. All right, then. Well, let me not expose you, bro.
Yeah, I'll be back. Just, you know, get it out. I'm gonna head to the fridge real quick.
Nah, go ahead, go, bro. I'm done, bro. I'm going.
I'll be back, bro. I already put the headset. Go ahead, do it.
Listen, yo. Let me just talk to y'all real quick. Let me say this. But to the people out there who keep making excuses for some of these players, because I'm done with DeMar. Let's get something clear. And also, let me not even act like I wasn't sipping none of the Toronto Kool-Aid, because I was. I was definitely one of the people who was like, man, Toronto could really actually do it. But that would, again, would be me assuming that DeMar DeRozan would step up, which he has never stepped up in the playoffs.
Some fish, man.
So if you're sitting here saying, like, all these players... Yeah, I'm still talking, bro. If you're sitting here talking about all these players around that time period, and y'all know what time period I'm talking about. I'm talking about around the time period that John Wall got drafted, DeMar DeRozan got drafted, Damian Lillard, Paul George.
Time periods. Genius.
They got drafted roughly around the same time.
No, it was like four years separating them.
Four to five year span. All them players, when they got drafted, like DeMarcus Cousins too, Blake Griffin, all them got drafted around that same time.
Hey, podcast listeners, are you enjoying this rant he's going on? Or y'all want me to move? We should move on, right?
All I'm saying is, bro, hold them players to a higher standard if you really think they're that great of a player. That's all I'm saying, bro. Because DeMar, you trash.
Lonzo got his girl pregnant. That's crazy, bro.
That's what we talking about right now, bro. We talking about you can't. We're not gonna talk about your team being trash no more. All right, you got it, bro. What's next, bro?
Bro, hey, whenever you're done, bro, just give me the.
Go ahead, go, bro. Who we talking about next?
Are you honestly done? Because you might just be refueling.
Go ahead, go, bro. What's the next topic? Since you want to talk about your trash team no more, what's up?
Well, look, do you want to talk about them for the next 4 hours?
No, bro, tell me. What's up?
Today I want to talk about what you want to talk about, man.
I do want to talk about how the 76ers, even though they dropped the ball multiple times, them and the Celtics look like that's going to be the two next teams up. Because I enjoyed the fact that it was a very competitive series. Again, the Sixers... I don't know how I feel about some of those mistakes down the stretch. Some of those mistakes, I tend to try to say, they're young, but some of the mistakes are just ridiculous mistakes.
Nah, it was JJ Redick making most of those mistakes, man.
Yeah, JJ Redick turned the ball over a few times and a few questionable shots here and there. But Ben Simmons and Embiid had moments where they were like, I don't know what y'all doing either. So, and Embiid on certain plays look a little lazy, and Embiid is definitely a player that I'm kind of back and forth on how he's going to approach the game next season. Because for the most part so far, he's definitely been a player who's just been so talented that he doesn't really have to give that much effort on both ends of the floor, and he gets away with a lot of things. However, hopefully, you know, this year will kind of push him into being the great player that I think a lot of people are expecting out of him. But then you also have to keep in mind that he's a player that, you know, you suffer from injuries, and that could kind of, you know, derail his career, so he can't go too hard. So that's always going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. Ben Simmons had moments where he was amazing throughout his postseason, and he also had moments where he was just really suspect, like that game where he only scored 1 point, and it's obvious that he's going to have to start knocking down some threes. So I anticipate him to really work on his jump shot over the offseason, unlike DeMar DeRozan trash ass, who's 9 years in and still can't shoot a three. So I definitely expect some of these other players to kind of step it up and keep it moving.
What did he do to you, Lo? What did he do to you?
He disappointed. He's a disappointment, yo.
But you know what? I realize it, Lo. Some bets on the Raptors making the finals.
Oh no, I never put a bet on any team that's not the Lakers. I don't bet on no other team that's not the Lakers. But also. I gotta give shout out to the Celtics. I think a lot of people Brad Stevens is a great coach.
You, Lo.
No. That's not even what I was about to say.
You thought they were gonna lose to the Bucks.
That's not what I was about to say though. Brad Stevens is definitely a great coach, but I hate it when people discount players because they're the one who have to go out there and execute.
You did it last podcast, man.
What are you saying?
In many podcasts, people have heard you say that he's not really that nice because he came at it this team with this system.
Oh, but that's more so me referring to like role players showing up, and I'm like, I don't necessarily know how good they are. But Tatum and Brown are like top three picks in a draft, and they definitely should be able to play well. It's just the fact that how quickly they're able to catch on to certain playoff schemes and the game and the speed of the game in the playoffs and the intensity and stuff like that. The fact they've been able to pick up on it and execute it is been great. Al Horford is back in his bag. The great Al Horford, he looked great as well. And even though Marcus Smart isn't the greatest offensive player, obviously his effort on defensive end has been stupendous.
You know what? I was watching those games, though. Marcus Smart reminds me a lot of Kyle Lowry with the worst 3-point shot.
No, he's not. Marcus Smart gives way more effort.
He gives way more
effort in defensive end than Kyle Lowry does.
I disagree with that.
He doesn't give more effort than Kyle Lowry on a defensive end.
No, you're mistaking energy for effort, my guy. Marcus Smart might flop around as much, but let me explain, man. When they're attacking the hoop, they're both really crafty. I noticed both of them, even if they have a layup, will jump into the bigger man to try and draw a foul, and they always do end up drawing the foul. I saw him do that multiple times over the course of the series. Of course, defensively, they're both good defenders. They both take in a lot of charges. They're just always there setting charges, man, and being in the right place at the right time. And really, the only thing I could think of that is separate them is that Kyle Lowry is a good 3-point shooter, and Marcus Smart isn't as good as him.
And also the $30 million that separate them financially as well. I mean, that's definitely a huge difference maker.
Low, man. I get it, all right? You've lost $5,000 betting on the Raptors. Let it go, man.
Definitely never going to bet on them like that.
Let it go.
And you know what's so crazy? Let me keep it a buck with y'all. Even though I was like in the back of my mind.
Who, me? It's my turn to take over the podcast.
I'll say this real quick. Even though I said the Raptors are gonna make it, bro. I low key picked the Cavs to make it past y'all on our bracket.
Oh yeah,
challenge.
Sure. Yeah, no, I low key did too. Yeah, no doubt.
In the bracket challenge, go look at it, bro. I picked the Cavs to beat the Raptors.
No, you created different bracket. If I created four brackets, yeah, one of them would be right too. Low genius.
No, literally, my one bracket, I have the Cavs beat number.
Congratulations, man. When I play March Madness, man, I just guess a bunch of times, and believe it or not, I low-key had some of the teams winning, too. You sound stupid, man. Of course. Yeah, if you make different
types. Let me go to bracketology right now. Let me see where you at right now.
Yeah, I'm probably up there.
Go ahead, do what you gotta do, bro. Say what you want to talk about with the Celtics series, man. Celtics and Sixers.
I feel good that I'm right about the Celtics. A lot of my judgments about playoff basketball come from the regular season. I know a lot of people hate, oh, but it's just a regular season and the playoffs is different and everything that happened in the past is bound to happen again. But when I seen these Celtics work in the end of the regular season, even without Kyrie, man, I knew for a fact that team was nice. Now, I didn't know they were nice enough to beat the 76ers, who were didn't they end the season on a 16-game winning streak? That I had no idea about. But if you really had them beating the Bucks, you need to reevaluate how you judge regular season teams, man. Some people pretend like it has zero significance just because teams like the Raptors end up choking even with a good performance. But most of the time, man, I'm telling you, bro, it adds up. Though, I mean, unless you're a Boston fan, I don't think anybody had to move them to the conference finals. I'm really happy that they did for multiple reasons. And I'm not even a Boston. I actually hate the Boston Celtics. I grew up a Kobe fan, so I have no reason to like that team. But they're fun to watch. You mentioned Jason Tatum. Man, is there such thing as a polished rookie? He looks like a polished rookie, though. Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier is hitting his shots. They just look like they mesh and the chemistry is on point. But more importantly, their defense was so fantastic. They were making the 76ers look like a what's that thing you guys do in the United States, Lo, where like little kids get on these teams and then they just try and run the score up. What's that called?
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Like it's not rep. It's not triple A rep. Somebody else listen to what I'm talking about. Maybe it made him look like a collegiate team. Let me put it like that. Like they didn't really belong there. They were turning the ball over left and right when it mattered. And every single time it was the Celtics swooping in, taking advantage. Like, I mean, you could argue some of their shots weren't hitting, but why weren't they hitting? They were closing out on most of the attempts. The rotations were on point. And this is a team led by incredibly young players. And there's a few veterans, you know, like Al Horford out there. It's incredibly impressive, man. I was watching game five, man, and part of me was thinking, yo, it is not unreasonable to assume that this team can beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. If the Pacers were able to clamp down the Cavaliers, where really was only LeBron scoring and making moves on the offensive end, then I don't see how this better defensive team in the Celtics can't do the same thing. Now, it could be a situation where it's straight confidence, right? Now the Raptors got destroyed. Cavaliers have confidence and they're moving in, you know, sweeping. They have rest now. It could be that. But, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if they took it to 6 or 7, man. Let me say that. I do still think the Cavaliers will end up winning and then probably losing like 5 to the Warriors. But it'll be a repeat of last year, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't. It wouldn't be surprising if the Celtics made it a little bit more interesting than I think a lot of people believe. I think what you were trying to talk about is AAU. That's what I think you were trying to talk about.
That's exactly what I was trying to talk about, yes.
Because I was like, I don't know what...
They made him look like an AAU team, Lo. Out there just turning the ball over, throwing it against your teammates' back. You know, it's just fumbling with the basketball. The pressure was serious, man.
I think that the Celtics are probably good enough to make it a little bit more interesting just because of how well coached they are, and they have some pieces that be able to switch off on LeBron and give him some problem, and they're a very smart team. However, I think because how hot some of the role players got in the Raptors series, that's probably going to carry over to the Celtics series, and it may just start bleeding over. So I think that's probably the biggest reason why I think that it's not going to be as close as it probably should be. However, I will say this though as well. I'm kind of upset that Kyrie is hurt right now because we just got robbed of easily one of the most interesting, you know, plot lines or one of the more interesting stories that we would have gotten over the last 3 or 4 years. If Kyrie was able to leave LeBron and then still make it to the conference finals without LeBron and then meet LeBron in the conference finals. And then if he beat LeBron,
that's an overrated storyline, to be honest with you.
That's an overrated storyline. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. Because I vividly remember in the offseason how so many people were like, oh, Kyrie, he's a selfish. He doesn't want to play with LeBron no more.
Those are just angry LeBron fans. They lost their second best player.
He had it so easy. You just can't go anywhere and go on a team that's going to be able to make it to the finals every year. And it's like, but he's on one of those teams that could easily make it to the finals every year for the next several seasons. So, I mean, I don't know, but,
okay, I'm going to ask a question, though.
What's that?
Even if Kyrie came back, bro, how much better would that team be, man? Like, they're hitting on all cylinders. They would have a closer in Kyrie, of course, a three-point shooter, a creator. But he's not a good defender.
Who does he have to defend on the Cavs?
The whole team, man. George Hill was lighting it up against the Raptors.
Y'all are trash, man. Y'all are trash. What do you want me to say? Y'all are
George
trash.
Hill?
I said y'all are trash.
Oh, okay. So you're just gonna basically you're saying Kevin Love, George Hill, Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith did great against the Raptors, but won't happen against the Celtics because the Raptors are trash.
I think the Celtics are a better coached team. We just sat there and said that.
Oh yeah, we agree on that.
Okay, so on the defensive end, you're going to be able to get a lot more cohesiveness from
but,
the.
But you're missing the point. I said if Kyrie comes back,
yeah, you're I mean, defend? It's but it's
you don't think
but
George it's a, Hill can attack Kyrie, man?
No, I don't. It's a team effort though on the defensive end. That's part of the reason why you just don't know that much about basketball.
It's
a team effort because there's a lot of players that are on, not maybe not a lot, but there are definitely a few players on the Celtics that I don't think are that great defensively, but they look much better because of the unit that they have around them, and everyone is on a string together defensively. However,
I'm just saying at point guard, if you're causing a lot of breakdowns, no matter how perfect your rotations might be.
I don't think George Hill's blown by him enough anyway. So no. George Hill isn't good enough. George Hill isn't good enough to just blow by Kyrie consistently for that to be a problem.
Good enough. you're treating Kyrie like his name is Bruce Bowen.
No. You're treating George Hill like he's someone that Bruce Bowen have a problem with staying in front of. No, George Hill just isn't that good enough of a player for there to be like that much of a problem. And only reason why he looked that good is because your team is trash. That's the only reason why.
All right, we're about to find out then, man. If George Hill is
Kyrie isn't there. What are you talking about?
I know, but I'm saying in general, if George Hill plays the next series, it will be an interesting series. Because honestly, Lo, I don't know if it's as much as like one team is better than the other, or your team is trash, and my name is Lo, and I'm a Lakers fan, and I have nothing to celebrate, so I hate on all the other teams. I think honestly, Lo, it might just be that the Cleveland Cavaliers just have this uncanny confidence. And I don't know about you, Lo. When I'm at the rec, man, and I have... When you start to knock shots down, bro, you got this confidence. And you know you've been saucing that. You played that guy before in the intramurals. And you did. You destroyed him. Then you know you're going to destroy him again. So you just play your game.
But we weren't. But we weren't saying it in the first round, though.
What do you mean?
We weren't sitting here saying that they had all the confidence in the world in the first round when they took the seven games and they were missing all their shots.
Right.
So a lot of just has to do with the fact that like the Raptors were just terrible defensively and they were getting wide open.
They were, but do you remember when LeBron in Game 3 was just going off?
Yeah, but those are outliers though. Those are outliers. We're not talking.
They're
about
not
that.
Outliers because his name is LeBron and he was doing it throughout the series. Where you were like, yeah, how do you defend this guy? Like, what are you? You're doing everything you possibly can. There are some instances, of course, where there was just breakdowns. Of course, a lot of it, I think, had to do with Serge Ibaka. Come on, man. That is poor analysis to just chalk that up to the Raptors being trash. George Hill is not going to cause a problem whatsoever. I disagree with you wholeheartedly. The second J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, Kevin Love start hitting their shots, it opens up the world. And those guys, Kevin Love was playing like he might have been a Timberwolf again. You see him in the post, Low? Just getting rebounds and pushing folks out the way.
I mean, well, honestly, that happens when the game plan is switch on everything and put CJ Miles on Kevin Love. I mean, that's what happens.
No, but that wasn't the only reason why, man. Come on,
that was
bro.
No. Like, game. What game was that? Game two or three when Kevin Love had a great
talking
game?
Talking about outliers.
Okay, all right. I mean, hey, man. I don't think they're gonna have. I think the Celtics will put up a better fight than the Raptors, and that's
obviously the Raptors got swept. What kind of standard is that, man?
I mean, what I'm saying is, if you're going off of what you just saw last round, I don't think that's something that you're going to consistently see in the next round. That's what I'm saying.
The part of the reason why they won 4-1 against the 76ers is because the Celtics closed out. And, you know, they do a fantastic play, throw it into Horford inside to seal the game. And it's like, that's just, imagine that, Lo. Instead of that Van Fleet play where you throw it into 5 seconds left or you don't double team LeBron when it could be a game winner. Like, all these mistakes Dwayne Casey made late game. Yo, Brad Stevens is just out there cruising, just, and he's out there on his pad just writing up plays, and then his team is just going out there. So I think that is the difference. I think that this Boston Celtics especially proved in these playoffs that they know how to close. So that might be the difference. I really hope it's an interesting series, man. It'd be a shame because we could both agree, though, the two best teams in the league are going to be playing each other in the next series, and that is the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. So I really hope that the Eastern Conference has an equally interesting matchup, but we'll see. There's a lot of variables. And I want to talk about the Golden State
series. I'm gonna say, and as we get over there, I don't think there's not going to be another interesting series for the rest of the playoffs or the rest of the postseason, because I don't think Houston has a chance. I really don't think Houston's gonna be that good.
Curry's back, and now Chris Paul is on the Rockets, so that changes things. Lo, man, how you see this series playing out?
5, maybe 6 games, and if it goes to 6, one of the games are going to be, maybe even 2 of them will be a blowout. The way that the Rockets play, I just don't see how that works, and I've said it multiple times, that style of basketball, I don't think that's a great style of basketball, and I think that I'll go as far as saying the way that D'Antoni coaches, it works in the regular season, and it works great for him, and he gets wins, and there's certain players and guards especially that get their numbers inflated, so that's great. But in the playoffs, it's been pretty proven that it's not going to work. And the dynamic that James Harden and Chris Paul have gained from one another over this year has been pretty impressive, and it's been pretty interesting to kind of figure out how they're going to work well with one another while going up against a team like the Warriors. But I don't know how that's going to really work out with them. Because you still have to figure out what you're going to do with Kevin Durant, and you still have to figure out what you're going to do with Klay Thompson. Because if the answer for Curry is Chris Paul, which that hasn't really worked out either in the past few years,
that Chris Paul's on the Rockets, man.
No, I'm talking about when he was on the Clippers and they had regular season bouts.
Why are you bringing up that for?
No,
man?
No,
a totally different team.
No, but what I'm saying is, well, one, Chris Paul was older. I mean, younger at that point. But what I'm just saying is, if the answer for Curry is Chris Paul, that still doesn't account for Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. And so, I mean, we now have to
look. I hate when you do this, man. When you boil everything down to individual.
But not only that, before I sat there and said that, I also said coaching. Like, I don't think that the way that D'Antoni coaches and that style that he coaches in, I don't think that's conducive of winning a lot of playoff series. And I think this series is where it's going to end. And I just don't see how it's going to be that interesting.
All right. I disagree with you on quite a bit of things. I do think the Warriors win, and I also do think the Warriors will make it look easy. As good as the Rockets are, I really do hope the Rockets end up winning. But the Golden State Warriors are just too D's to ever let that happen. It just won't. I think it's incredibly simple, though. The Houston Rockets just have to outshoot the Golden State Warriors. And what the Houston Rockets proved...
Is that simple, though?
It is. Because a lot of what... Houston doesn't really take a... I mean, I know for a team that's very analytical based and everything is down to percentages, a corner three is the best shot. And then, of course, an open layup is a great shot. For a team like that, they take a lot of contested shots. You know, James Harden, only for a fantastic three-point shooter, his percentage is pretty low. And that goes throughout the team. Players like Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson are perfectly fine taking contested shots. And when they hit, like they've been hitting over the course of the regular season, you have no doubts that no team can compete with these guys, and they are the best team in the league.
Nope, I disagree. But I disagree, but go ahead.
Yeah. Over the playoffs, they've proved that has been inconsistent for them. So the reason you drop a game to the Timberwolves and the reason there's a quick little scare against the Utah Jazz, even though those are two teams you should be making easy work of, is that you guys aren't shooting well. And so a lot of that Damn, Lo, what's up with the... I hear an echo, man.
I think that's just you, bro.
Nah, it can't be me. I have the same setup all the time.
You hear echo right now?
Nah, it disappeared. Basically, what I'm trying to say is this. If Houston Rockets can shoot fantastic for four games, they will win. The Golden State Warriors are a good defensive team, so they'll make that difficult on them. But I wouldn't ever count the Rockets out. I just know that nobody beats the Warriors. You learned something early on in life, man, is to never count out the Warriors. Even though I'm going to be so honest with you, even if Curry wasn't playing this series, I think they would win.
I agree, but it would definitely be harder, though. It would be.
I think it would be game seven without Curry. Yeah, it would be, but I still think the Warriors would win.
But the thing is with the whole, like, them shooting better, they haven't really been shooting that great this playoffs because Trevor Ariza, like you said, Eric Gordon, Luke Bamute, even though he's not really known for his three-point shooting, that definitely was an aspect to his game that he added that made him a little bit more valuable. They've struggled. And then you have certain games where James Harden struggles as well from behind the arc. And so it can go up and down. And Gerald Green, he'll go up and down and hot, and he'll go cold. And the problem with that style of play is just so dependent on James Harden and Chris Paul. And I just don't know. I don't think that Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and Draymond as defenders, I don't know if they're going to bite on the same things that they've been. And I mean, this is the same thing that's been going on with James Harden in the postseason anyway. That when he gets in the postseason and he matches up against great defensive teams and players, they don't bite on the same thing that other teams they bite on all the time. So the Euro steps, the ridiculous calls that he gets from behind the arc, those things, they just don't happen in the postseason as much because the refs allow a little bit more physical play happening. And
it's better refs too.
Yeah, it's better refs.
Just like the players, the refs have like an elimination system.
Yeah.
So like the ref who gets the most calls moves on. So like you get refs that aren't missing as many calls, as you move on. Though interestingly enough, the only player on the Rockets this playoff shooting over 40% is PJ Tucker, a player who you wouldn't consider a great 3-point shooter, is usually just spotting up in the corner and being left open because there's extra attention being sent towards either Chris Paul or James Harden. James Harden is shooting 40% from the field. Eric Gordon is shooting 34% from the field. You have players like Gerald Green still shooting 40%. Luke Sharp and Bam Mute shooting 33%. Well,
Gerald Green shooting 40% isn't that big of a deal because almost all his shots are from behind the arc. So that's not that big of a deal.
I mean,
he's
shooting 34 from three. So
that's not that, but that's... Really, because what they have to do is shoot like over 35, 30... 38, like
they
around.
They have to shoot like 37 as a team.
Yeah, like that. That's what they have to aim for. And I don't. And here's the thing. I don't even think they'll win even doing that. I don't think that there'll be enough firepower.
I will.
If they shoot 37% from behind the arc as a team, I still don't think they're going to win.
But if you're shooting that good of a percentage, right? And I think all of that starts with James Harden, who's of course taking the highest frequency of shots. How you really have to be giving up like 120 plus a game to start losing that.
Yeah, they can do that. Or they can definitely do that.
I don't think you're gonna allow that to happen for four games though. If the Rockets if they improve their shooting, how could they lose? Like it'd have to be a lot of other things going wrong for that to be the case, man. And I just don't see that happening. By the way, on a side note, Lo, there was some reports that Clint Capella is going to get max offers from the Clippers.
Which is ridiculous. We got to be sometime soon. We got to spend some time talking about the money that's about to be thrown around this offseason. Because this offseason was not supposed to be like a big free agent year. I think next year is supposed to be a bigger one. But for whatever reason, there's just players that's getting thrown some offers that I don't think should be getting thrown offers. But yeah, I've heard that too. Also, I know this is definitely off topic, but when Wiggins received that contract this year, wasn't that crazy? Why didn't the Timberwolves just wait to see what he was going to do? And if they felt like he was max, then they would just match whoever gave him max.
It's for, I think, plenty. I guess it's for continuity, right? Like,
nigga,
if you got a guy.
Fuck Wiggins. Who cares about Wiggins? if he get upset that we didn't give him an extension 1 year earlier,
I get that.
But he
believes he's a franchise player.
He can believe all he wants to. He may believe in Santa Claus. Right. I don't mean
but
that
I
true.
Get that you think that. But if you're a team, you don't want to. You want to keep good relationships. So most of the time, they try and sign him as quick as possible. But sometimes it doesn't happen. He's still a restricted free agent. You're right. They'd have ended up having to pay him whatever he wanted based on what the market was asking for. If the Raptors offered max for him, they would have to offer max to keep him.
But not only that, here's the thing. If the Raptors or whoever, right, if the Nets offer max, then you just let him go because it's stupid to pay him max once you realize what type of player he is.
But you're missing the point. Do you remember, just pretend the season never happened, Lo. Like, Wiggins was, he had a lot more hype.
But that's what I'm saying. With this season in context, because I wouldn't give him max if we're going into a season where he's going to be the third option, and I don't necessarily know how he's going to react to him being the third option. And so if he excelled in that role, then fine, we can give him the max. But if we're going into a season where he's going to be a different player in a different role, and we got Jimmy Butler and a whole bunch of other players, and our expectations are different from where they once were, then I need to hold off on me trying to figure out what he's actually worth. Because I don't even think no one would have given him max money after the season he had this
year. They would have.
And if they would have, then let him get the money then. Let him get the money. Who cares?
Imagine that situation, Lo, where Wiggins is no longer on the Timberwolves. Like, I get that think he's not a good player or whatever, but that's a hit, man.
How was that a hit?
Yeah, this is supposed to be that whole tag team combo with him, Karl Anthony Towns.
Ain't no tag.
Of course, now with the
addition. Can't be a tag team combo if one of them don't show up. That's a handicap. That's a handicap match right there.
Let's be fair. Both of them didn't show up in the playoffs.
But even in the regular season, I didn't really see that much of Wiggins. That's a handicap match.
Yeah,
that's a handicap match right there, man.
But it's one of those situations like the one with Kyle Lowry where you just pay him and then figure it out later. Like, you lose a player
like bad general managing. That's what that sounds like.
And you don't know the future. You never know how a player is going to perform.
And it also sounds like general managers giving players contracts just simply based off of their name without assessing their actual value as an individual, because that's definitely happened as well. And if that's the case,
do you remember the conversation, Lo, when he got traded from the Cavaliers, of like how insane that was, and everybody was like, "Whoa, the Cavaliers are gonna regret it."
I think they would have.
If they didn't win a ring, I think that kind of just alleviated everything. So had they not won the ring and came back from 3-1, it would have been a catastrophic mistake to throw away the potential future of the team.
I can't say catastrophic because it's not like Wiggins is going to make that much of a difference.
The first overall pick, man.
It's not like Wiggins is going to make that big of a difference as the first overall pick.
I mean, we don't know what he'd be like in a different environment.
He might be worse. He might be worse playing with LeBron.
He might be, but he might also be better.
I doubt he'd be better playing with LeBron. I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt he'd be worse playing with LeBron.
Because looking at the way he's playing right now, I don't know. Wiggins, I don't know if LeBron could save him.
So I want to ask you, because you asked the question to DeRozan, what kind of team would want a player like Wiggins?
A desperate team.
But, like, give me an example of a team.
Like, Detroit is pretty desperate, so Detroit.
You don't think Stanley Johnson's doing it?
No, exactly. Detroit's pretty desperate. Dallas is pretty desperate. Sacramento's pretty desperate. Those teams.
They have Buddy, though.
Yeah, and they're desperate. Put Buddy at the point. He's supposed to be the next Curry, right? Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
So put him at the point.
On that note, Lo, we both agree that barring insane circumstances, the Golden State Warriors are going to win. Who do you have moving on from the Cavaliers series, and in how many games?
I got the Cavs in 5.
Okay. I have the Cavs in 6. I want to say 7, but I'll be safe and say 6.
And I have, oh yeah, and if LeBron lose, oh my goodness, that would be, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to entertain that.
You were plotting, my guy.
we're not going to entertain that. Warriors in five.
I also say Warriors in five, which is crazy. Going into the season, I was really optimistic about the Houston Rockets, but they haven't given me much to be optimistic about in the playoffs. And you gotta convince me that somehow they'll just click and begin to shoot better as a team in the playoffs. And they might, you know, they might just step up under pressure and do, but I mean, it's the Warriors at the end of the day. You know, even if it gets pushed to seven, I still think they'll win. Assuming no injuries, of course. Thank God Curry is back healthy. It'd be a huge asterisk on this series if the Houston Rockets won, but Curry wasn't there, you know?
Yeah, it will be. Also, shout out to Stan Van Gundy.
He got fired.
You lost your job.
I actually like him, even though he did a bad job,
I've been telling y'all, Van Gundy was not that good of a coach, or he definitely wasn't that good of a general manager.
What do you think about Jeff Van Gundy? You think he could be a coach?
No. All them older coaches from like the early 2000s to 90s, no, they can't coach in today's NBA because their mental isn't able to process what's going on in the league right now, apparently.
So, but like this coach, like, how about Greg Pop?
He's an exception. I mean, he's literally the exception.
Well, I don't know about that, man.
He is the exception. What?
I'm trying to think of an old ass coach right now.
You let me know when you think of that player. Excuse me, that coach. But yeah, Van Gundy.
Yo, what was the hating all podcast, man? Jesus.
Van Gundy, try to sit here and make Andre Drummond Dwight Howard. Then got Blake Griffin. I guess he's supposed to be Hedy Turkoglu. Van Gundy's still living in 2010. Van Gundy, get out your bubble, cuz. You don't know what you're doing.
Why? What is up with you today, man?
I'm just saying, because I said in the beginning of the season that Van Gundy, he's just not that good of a coach, man. He's just not that good of a coach.
All right. I might agree with you after what happened in Detroit.
And then,
did he lose his whole job?
Yeah, he lost everything. And that's the crazy part, too. Van Gundy in the middle of the season was like, right, I know y'all going to fire me, so let me go ahead and just screw y'all over and get Blake Griffin.
No, actually, I saw reports that Jeff Van Gundy, like, surprisingly wasn't, like, as much as you might want to pin it on him, a lot of people in the organization wanted to make that move.
You mean Stan Van Gundy?
I'm just telling you what the report said, man.
No, but you said Jeff means Stan Van Gundy.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Because you think that, like, they would have, if they knew they were probably going to move him the next year, unless something interesting had, like, especially if they don't make the playoffs, they wouldn't let him make a trade thrown away to buy Tyrese Bradley.
That's not the first time it's happened, because Isaiah Thomas did the exact same thing with the Knicks, where they were on the border of trading Isaiah Thomas, and Isaiah Thomas was like, man, forget this, and just made, I think it was the Eddie Curry trade, and it was like, bro, this man just messing up the whole organization. But, man, that man, they fired this man after he done messed them up, so he doesn't even have to even deal with that mess. That's crazy. That's crazy.
You know, because a lot of it, we take it as an L, but if you're fired in the middle of your contract, you are getting paid for work over the next, however long your contract was, for work you didn't do. We should be celebrating them. They're securing the bag.
Shout out to Larry Brown, because he definitely did the exact same thing with the Knicks. He got fired, and then Isaiah Thomas was like, man, he got fired as a coach, and Isaiah Thomas wasn't trying to pay him the money that he got paid. And Larry Brown was like, nah, you definitely going to get this. You definitely going to make these checks out to me. So I don't know why are you bugging. So yeah, shout out to Larry Brown. He did that. But yeah, Van Gundy got fired. So that's what's up.
Indeed, he did. I felt weird because I thought that, like, you know how the first round ended? The second round was underway before the first round even ended. But this second round ended, and isn't there no games till Sunday, or am I tripping?
Yeah, there's no games until Sunday, if I'm not mistaken.
Why would they do that? Why would they rush the first round?
Because they didn't know. Or some of the first rounds went longer than expected, so they're on a schedule. And so everything is kind of set up for, just in case there's a game seven, then we push it back that far. But if not, then we're going to just, I mean, there's just breaks because everything is kind of just set up on the TV and things are set up. The TV scheduling and the scheduling for the arenas for them not to have their games until this, you know, whatever amount of games have been played. So, you know, they can't rush it now. They have to just wait.
Yeah. Also, if that team has a, if a city also has a team in the NHL playoffs on top of concerts and events,
yeah,
like the NBA is basically putting the facilities on the spot. They're like, yeah, we're going to tell you a few days before we're going to host an event where 20,000 people show up to your facility and you guys are going to figure it out. All right, cool. Sounds good.
Well, we already said it, but Mike Budenholzer got fired from the Hawks. And I feel like somebody else got fired. Coaches.
Dwayne Casey, we didn't talk about him.
No, I mean, we did. No, we definitely talked about Trash Casey. Who else? I feel like it was somebody else, but I guess not.
Nope, there's no one else, man.
So, I guess closing.
I mean, the Knicks picked up a coach, but that's about it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the draft is, or not the draft, the lottery is Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is Tuesday.
I sounded sarcastic when I said that. I'm actually interested. even though the Raptors haven't been in the lottery for a while.
You might need to be because y'all trash.
Are you done?
Are we doing the podcast? Are we going to give our highlight player?
You gotta just say something positive about all the teams
OG, that got eliminated OG, in the playoffs. OG looks really good.
The teams, not the players.
Oh, about the team. I got to say something good about the Raptors as a team?
I believe in you, man. You could do it.
There's no way. My highlight player of the pod.
Yo, low, man.
What?
We're trying to end the podcast on a positive note.
That's the whole purpose of the highlight player. What the hell? Anyway,
damn.
Before I was rudely interrupted, my highlight player of the podcast is Jason Tatum, man. He's been looking great as a rookie. So far, you know, I definitely feel like this year is something that people will reference when we talk about how great Jason Tatum is or the career that he potentially can have. And we'll be able to kind of go back to this season and really get a better understanding of the type of player that we've seen created right before our eyes. Also, we didn't really talk about it too much, but Utah, they did get knocked out. And Donovan Mitchell didn't have the greatest series. Shooting wise, he had a stretch where he was shooting great. We really didn't even talk about that at all because Chris Paul had like a 40 point, 10 assists, 0 turnover game to close out the series.
My highlight player goes to the Cavaliers role players.
Shout out to Chris Paul. I just thought about this. What am I thinking? Shout out
for
to Chris Paul.
Finally stepping up in the playoffs. If they have any shot of winning a championship, they're going to need all those guys to step up
every single game. If they have any shot of winning the play, championship, Curry has to get hurt.
Jesus, Lo. Why you got it? See, exactly when I try to end on a positive note, Lo has to say something that reckless.
I mean, you're basically just lying, though. You're talking about if the role players step up.
No, I'm saying if Kevin Love, Jarrett Smith, Kyle Korver, George Hill, if Larry Nance, bro, if that whole... The entire team is clicking.
If they step
I'm
up,
just saying,
if
Lo.
They step up, they still losing to the Warriors, bro.
I can't give a highlight player of the day and make it positive no more.
Bro, you just gave a highlight team.
Oh, my God.
You just gave Lo. A whole team, bro.
I didn't give this podcast a nickname, man.
You're trash. You know what to give it. You know what to give him to him. You know what to do. You know what to say.
Alright, thank you guys for listening, man. If you guys
stop. Yo, shout out to everybody listening to the pod. This is another episode of All Top Podcast, better known as La Raptors.
You meant to say LeBronto? Jeez, Lo, we can't even get you.
LeBron, y'all the LeBrontos?
Otherwise known as Lakers not making the playoffs in the next
sweeps.
Couple years.
If
you guys
sweeps.
Enjoyed... Drop a 5-star. Hey, thank you guys for showing love,
y'all the
man.
Toronto Sweets, bro. Y'all got two mascots. A broom and a dustpan, bro.
We'll catch That's you guys crazy. Later, man. We're out.
That's Peace. Crazy.
I got you, man. I got you.
Flo here with a really weird word. Buttery. buttery. It's not quite butter. It's more butterish. Or maybe buttery is like butchery or bakery, a shop that sells artisanal butter products. Dig in, America. Now a word that's even more weird. Flotection. Sure, it's not really a word, but it is really good protection for your new home through me and Progressive. No ifs, ands, or butteries about it. Sorry.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.